We're going to pick up the continuation of the story in Matthew chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. When the Magi had heard the king, they set out. And there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Thank you, God, for journeying with us all throughout the year 2023. Okay, let's look at one more Advent/Christmas journey as we begin our journey into a new year. The Magi's journey was a long one, possibly 2 years long. We're not exactly sure where the wise men or Magi came from. East is a pretty big place. It could have been Iran or Persia, as it was known back in the day. It could have been Babylon, the land where Israel had experienced exile. East could be symbolic of places that we know are out there but don't know much about, like the dark side of the moon, or how they used to call Africa the dark continent for so many years because Western explorers had not yet reached it. The East was regarded as a place of exotic mystery, of magic and astrology, of paganism and even occultism. Such a strange place from which strange visitors came to see Jesus. Who were the Magi anyway? There were many speculations about exactly what they were. They were held in high esteem by the Persian court and were devoted to astronomy, to religion, and to medicine. They were chiefly occupied with foretelling events by watching the stars, and they were interpreters of dreams. Among the Persians and Medes, they formed a special class of priests. But why would they be concerned about the birth of a king in a faraway land, a decidedly unexotic land like Israel? What would the men of the East have to do with the king of the Jews? The Magi were not Jewish, so why would they undergo such an arduous journey, a true Star Trek, to meet this king and bring him exotic, mysterious gifts? Why would they go so far to worship a king who would not rule over them or their country? Perhaps they knew this new king was going to change the world in wonderful, radical ways, and they wanted to be sure they got in on the ground floor and secured their place at his side so he would remember them and possibly reward them for their diligence and deference in the future. Maybe it was their way of saying something someone else, some 30 years later, would say to that very baby, that very king, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." I wonder what these learned men learned in their traditions about Jesus. It's apparent all they knew was that somewhere in the land of Israel, a new king had been born, and a star had told them so. All they knew was that the star they had seen was so unique, so rare, so special, that it had to mean something extraordinary had happened, and someone extraordinary had been born, and they weren't about to miss a chance to go and welcome and worship him. When did the star first appear to them? Before Jesus' birth or right after? Did the Magi know what the star's appearance truly meant? Yes, a king was born, but not just any old king. Did they know this king was the Son of God? Did they know about the prophecies that foretold his advent and all the wonderful things he would do for God's people? Apparently not, because when they got to Jerusalem, they had to ask where they might find the new king. The scribes and chief priests told them he would be born in Bethlehem, just as it said in Micah's prophecy. Did the Magi know there was even a hint of themselves in the scriptures? Psalm 72, 10 through 11 says, "May the kings of Tarshish and of the isles render him tribute. May the kings of Sheba and Seba bring gifts. May all kings fall down before him, all nations give him service." Isaiah 61, 6 says, "They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord." The Magi knew nothing of this king, what he was born to do, whose son he was. They just knew he was an important person, and it was imperative that they do what one normally did for kings. They brought him gifts and worshiped him. well-versed in the pomp and circumstance of royal courts, the Magi came prepared with gifts to honor the new king. That's what you did. When you had an audience with the king, you dared not enter his presence without a gift. While we wonder at the underlying meaning of the gold, frankincense, and myrrh the Magi brought to Jesus, we also recognize they were bringing the best products their land had to offer, nothing but the best for the king. Frankincense was a costly and fragrant gum distilled from a tree in India and Arabia. Myrrh was an aromatic gum produced from a thorn bush that grew in Arabia and Ethiopia. And gold, well, we all know about gold. And it certainly came in handy when the Holy Family had to escape Israel and flee to Egypt. That's next week's journey. Notice the scripture doesn't mention if the Magi brought anything to Herod, the supposed king of Judea. They probably didn't bring him anything. Herod was not the king they were looking for. I don't think there were just three Magi. The tradition emerged because of the gifts they carried. One ancient commentator thinks there may have been as many as 14 Magi. Now, I imagine there was a whole caravan of travelers with them. People didn't go on solo long trips in those days. It was too dangerous. How exciting it must have been to be in that caravan. These guys were leaders and movers and shakers in their eastern world. They would have traveled with the best equipment. They would have had the finest camels and perhaps even dashing Arabian horses to ride. They would have had more than enough provisions and water for all. They would have had tents and furnishings for the tents when they stopped and rested at an oasis. They would have had servants to set everything up and take everything down. They traveled in style. Knowing how long the journey would be, they would have made steady progress, but they wouldn't have rushed. They would have looked for milestones to see how far they had come and how far they had yet to go. They would have been ready to deal with any contingencies. They traveled with confidence because they trusted in the star they were following. All they had to do each night was look up at the sky, and there was the star, a reassuring sight. They believed the star would take them exactly where they needed to go. Maybe they'd never ventured so far from their homeland before, and who knows what kind of maps they would have had back then. But that star was there to light their way and keep them faithful and focused, westward leading, still proceeding until they reached their destination. And when their journey was finally over and they found Jesus, they rejoiced with an exceeding great joy. They were overjoyed because their long journey was over, and it was not a wild goose chase. They had found the one they were looking for. You know, we could apply what the Magi experienced to our own faith journeys. Sometimes we are called to go to a place we have no idea about nor any thought about how to get there. We may be afraid to venture out, not knowing what lies ahead. What if we get lost? What if we break down? What if we get there and there is no there? The Magi probably did not call the power leading them God, but we do. We know who made that star, a very special star indeed, a star scientists are still trying to figure out what it was and how it came to be. Was it a comet? A meteor, a supernova, an exploding star? Was it a rare convergence of planets? But how did it last so long and glow so brightly all that time? How did it keep moving eastward? And why did it stop at the very house where Jesus, Mary, and Joseph were? How did it know? The Magi didn't waste time trying to figure it all out. They just trusted. Their faith may have faltered over hill and over dale, but ultimately it came to prevail. One more idea about the star. It appeared to the Magi and their entourage and deliberately led them, but surely many other people saw it and wondered what it meant. Did other people come to the Magi's caravan and ask them, what was going on and where were you going? And the Magi told them they were following yonder star to see a new king. I wonder if someone was so intrigued by their story that they decided to follow the star too. That'd be a great story to write. It's a story we can actually live out. If someone should come to us and ask us about the hope and joy and peace and love that are evident in our lives, we can be like the Magi, only wiser, and point out the star to them, the light of our lives, Jesus, and say, hey, you can follow this star too. Come on. We are a little bit wiser than the wise men, believe it or not. The Magi knew about nature, but not about nature's God. But we know who has made the stars, all the heavens. We know whose divine will we follow. We know who will lead us and guide us as we journey. We know whose light goes before us, shining in the darkness, and the darkness will not overcome it. We know we can trust God to show us where to go, how to get there, what to do once we get there. So let's make 2024 the year we fully trust God on our journeys. Let's resolve to be more faithful and more reliant on God's will and God's way, and without trying to manipulate or orchestrate the ins and outs of what we experience. Let's look for those milestones to see how far we have come and set other goals to reach when we come to a trial or a test. Let us look to the star God has sent us, Jesus Christ, our Savior, the bright and morning star, and ask for his peace and his strength to power us through. Jesus is the one whose going forth is from everlasting. He's been around forever, and he's not going to abandon us now. So let's go into 2024 with our heads held high and our hearts beating in anticipation. The star won't steer us wrong. It will steer us home. Let us pray. Eternal God, the light of our lives, and Jesus, the star that guides us, as we stand on the threshold of 2024, we look out into a vast unknown future. If we had to go it alone, we would be sore afraid and maybe not even take the first step forward. But we know we are not alone. We know you hold the future, and our prayer is that it will be a good one of health and hope and happiness and of strength and tenacity when obstacles do arise. Thank you in advance for all the wonderful places you will take us this year and for all the wonderful things you will show us as we walk with Jesus the Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
It's all.